والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد
الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, first of all, Ramadan Mubarak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with yet another opportunity to experience a month of Ramadan. And obviously these are special circumstances. So this year, inshallah, we're going to have a special program, which inshallah I'll be introducing a little bit later. Just as a teaser, the idea would be to do two lectures on akhlaq and then a talk show on the last day. And the idea being that questions that came to the minds of believers, that those could be addressed on the talk show. Maybe if we can find a way of doing some of those live or have voice notes or either just off of the live feed, then inshallah, it'll make it a little bit of an interactive discussion. But first, let's talk a little bit about this month and this opportunity that we have. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse number 182, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those who were before you, that haply, maybe you will observe taqwa. So, fasting, this is divine taklif. And it's also, brothers and sisters, an absolute blessing to be able to fast. The idea that Allah made us, like those who came before us, responsible and carry this duty. It increases our personal and social taqwa. It increases our ability to resist in the face of hardship. It's going to also help with our willpower. So, inshallah, we're able to really take full benefit of this month. I wanted to give a few reminders about the spiritual blessings of this month that we're in so that we take this opportunity a little bit more seriously. There's one hadith, which is Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of gives us an indication of how much reward there is for this month, the blessing that we have, meaning this opportunity to fast. He says this in the hadith, As-sawmuli, fasting is for me, for God. Wa ana ajzi bih, and I reward those who do it. The way some of our scholars have quoted this is in this way. They say this is also a possibility, and this whole shows us the enormity of the blessing that's in front of us. The hadith would be read this way. As-sawmu li, fasting is for me. Wa ana ujza bih, I am the prize. The prize is God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the prize. A couple of things that make this month special. Anfasukum fihi tasbih. Even the breaths that you take when you're not doing any particular act of worship is actually glorifying God and declaring Him to be good and free of all blemishes. Wa nawmukum fihi ibadah. Your prayer is considered worship. Wa amalukum fihi maqbool. Your actions are accepted. Wa du'aukum fihi mustajab. Your du'as are also answered. Now, as the leader pointed out, these special circumstances are an opportunity for us to engage in some of the things that maybe you wouldn't do as much normally. Normally, you and I would be busy at these times. We'd be working, we'd be making our efforts to come to the centers, to attend iftar parties, or host others, or come to the masjid, or Husseinias, the places that we lived, and to have dinner amongst ourselves, with other believers. But normally we would have a big obstacle. That big obstacle is distraction of the dunya by taking care of our responsibilities, doing worship, by taking care of our responsibilities. But we wouldn't have had that time for khalwa with God, to be us, ourselves, alone, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the leader has stressed that this time, one of the things that we should do is to take these opportunities where now we cannot attend the masajid. Now we have more time on our hands for conversations with God, for speaking to Him, for talking to Him, for tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. These are the things that we want to be doing during this time. Not looking at this as why is it that we are in this kind of a situation, but maybe, hopefully, this is one of those things that maybe we needed to experience before the Imam returns. We hope his return is soon. Allahu A'lam. Anytime, we always prepare as if any time could be the time of his return. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Hadith Qudsi about this time? God says this. This is quoted from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that kullu layla, every night from this month, God says this. So every night from this month, God says this. Wa izzati wa jalali, by my invincibility and my majesty. Laqad amartu malaikati, I have commanded my angels, bifathi abwabi samawati, to open up the doors of the heavens. For who? Lidda'een min ibadi wa imai. The doors of heavens are open for those who use this time to make dua, to ask Allah, to speak to God. And this is really one of those things that we want to do. Another thing, having more time on our hands, is the idea of making extra prayers, or the qadha prayers if we have them, to make up for them, or recitation of the Qur'an. The hadith says this, مَنْ تَلَى فِيهِ آيَةً مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, whoever recites even one verse of Qur'an, كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ مَنْ خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الشُّهُورِ. Allah gives him the reward of that person who does khatam of the Qur'an in any other time. So talking to God in that way. Now, another thing that's been emphasized to us, both in our hadith, and the leader put his finger on it as something that we need to be doing now, is the idea of looking out for those who are less fortunate, those who may be suffering from this virus or the after effects of it. So for those of us who are here in the States and expecting that there will be something like a terrible recession, a lot of people have already lost work. Yes, now stimulus checks have come out. Some people right now, they're still afloat. But we need to be prepared. We should not in any way think that this is going to be all over, even once they start with the reopening the economy. To think that, okay, well, everybody's back to work, so now we don't have to worry about anybody. No, we have to make sure that nobody has fallen through the cracks. As the hadith says this, وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَىٰ فُقَرَائِكُمْ وَمَسَاكِنِكُمْ وَمَسَاكِنِكُمْ, that you give sadaqah. You look out for those who are less fortunate. So alhamdulillah, here, I can say this in Michigan, that there are several organizations that are trying to do this. We have the Al Ain Social Care Foundation, we have Zaman International, you have the Amity Foundation, the Islamic House of Wisdom is over there. Before the month of Ramadan, they were giving out food in the mornings. You have the MC, Muslim Congress, has the COVID-19 Relief Fund. And here in the Hadi Institute, we have the Sahab Zaman Relief Unit. So all of these organizations are working. We have to all work, put our hands together to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. One of the big tests, brothers and sisters, is not only to make sure that we're doing the fasting, but right now to make sure in this time of need, for the sake of the Imam, that we look out for those who are less fortunate. There are people who have honor and dignity who maybe won't be able to bring themselves to ask for help. Some of us, maybe we have to contact these organizations. We have to find out ways of getting them help. Put them in touch with the right people. Make sure that their needs are being met. Inshallah, they can also, I know at the Hadi Institute, we have phone lines where people can talk. They don't have to feel any sort of shame. They can go over and make sure that at least we are able to do our responsibility towards them. So brothers and sisters, one thing is to learn about what institutions, what things are available for them. And then after that, putting them in touch with the right people. In addition to that, you and I may have our own circle of friends, people we know, people who we can check on. And the hadith says this, "Addal ala al-khair," person who shows someone or points another person in the direction of good, kafa'ilih. So maybe you and I, we can serve as a wasata, as a means between that person and some of these organizations or individuals that can help them, of course, not neglecting our personal responsibility. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is also a special opportunity. And brothers and sisters, I believe we needed this, that there's wisdom in this, and we needed this. It's what we call in Farsi, tawfiq ijbari. When you have tawfiq, but it wasn't even something that you kind of chose for yourself. Allah created a situation and you benefit from it. One of the things we're supposed to do, meaning ideally, if you and I could have planned our lives around Islam and what Islam places as a priority, making time for the month of Ramadan, where we could actually sit down and focus on ourselves, on God, what we're supposed to do, our responsibility, this would have been one of the things that we should have done, that we should have made more effort. Yes, of course, before we would have been more compelled because we have been working other things. But now Allah created an opportunity for a very special month of Ramadan. One of the du'as of Imam Sajjad reads like this, وَاسْتَعْمِلْنِي بِمَا تَسْأَلُنِي غَدًا عَنْ. Oh Allah, we're asking Allah, you help me or make me apply myself to those things, that those areas you're going to ask me about tomorrow. Make me focus on those areas where you're going to ask me about tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's a lot of real things that we have to be worrying about. One of them is that self-development and that purification. The focus of these lectures, inshallah, is going to be on that akhlaq. We're in quarantine. Some of us, the test of the family is the test where we might fail. We're interacting in close quarters with those who we love, those who we feel comfortable with. We are not in professional environments. The guard is down. Some of us, we may be going through certain difficulties. Sometimes that brings out the real us. That self-development, how I deal with these soldiers of the Imam who are in my house, very important. Who I am, my niyyah. You see, brothers and sisters, Imam Khomeini, may Allah raise him with Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, he would take the month of Ramadan off. He was the leader. He would take the month of Ramadan off. He would cancel his meetings, cancel his appointments. He would take the month off because he knew how important this is for dua, Quran, working on himself. He would deliberately take a whole month off. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to use this in the right way. Now, again, before we talk about the main focus, meaning at least to introduce what we're going to talk about, this is also an opportunity for tabligh, brothers and sisters, something that we also shouldn't forget. Remember, you and I, we're trying to bring the world min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. We want everyone to experience the goodness of the Imam of the time. In order to do that, having Islam, enjoying Islam, practicing Islam, that's wonderful, but part of our responsibility is to spread Islam, to share these teachings, to save mankind, not just to watch them flounder. So what happens is, we talked about this before, the idea of using this as an opportunity to help people be aware of the alternative to Western democracy. The alternative to Western democracy, and to explain to people before the Imam returns that theocracy works. So brothers and sisters, you are seeing, as I'm seeing, we've all seen the interviews. I don't know how many of you got a chance to see this, but you can look this up later. The governor of New York, who's been, alhamdulillah, he seems he's doing a better job than many others. He's bravely taking on Trump. He's been able, alhamdulillah, the numbers are coming down. But remember, we talked about the system of Yazid. Right? That it's not just Trump, or it's not, Trump always has nicknames for these guys, Sleepy Joe Biden, or he's making fun of the other one, he called her Nancy Antoinette. It's not just these figures, the system of Yazid. So the governor, I don't know how many of you guys saw this, he said that we brought the numbers down. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. Look at the arrogance. This kind of a leader, remember this, because after this next election, people may be trying to raise him up as the next president. The system of Yazid. God didn't do this, fate didn't do this, destiny didn't do this. We did this. Is that what we offer the world? So, the reason why we have to go over is we have to explain that theocracy does work. There's another alternative to this. And I want to mention it because I want to talk a little bit about our social and political responsibilities in the day of Quds. Before I go over and talk about the akhlaqi issues, which we're going to put our focus on, and later if I'm mainly focused on akhlaqi issues, I don't want us to think that it's out of ignoring these other important issues. So, back to our social and political responsibilities. What happens is that in Iran, they have, alhamdulillah, this divine system. They have the system of the God-weary who are ruling the earth. Now, they were under sanctions, according to the U.S. government, the harshest sanctions that the U.S. has ever put on any country, suffering from proxy wars. And let's be clear, these sanctions were hurting them. Unemployment is very high in the Islamic Republic. Inflation is through the roof. The most vulnerable Iranians were suffering and are suffering from medical terrorism. They can't buy the medical products that they need, and they can't buy the raw materials to make those medical products. That was before the sanctions. And after that, then before the coronavirus, then the coronavirus hit, and the oil plummeted. So now you can't fly in, you can't fly out. Okay, at least the loan from the IMF, you can't get that either. The idea was we'll watch them sink, right? And instead you saw, and we all witnessed, that Iran was able to turn the corner, that they've done a better job than America, than England, than Spain, than Italy, these countries who have so many big claims, widespread testing of their people, people rushing to the assistance of one another, instead of, like in our countries, taking the elderly off life support. Instead of that, looking out for people, massage it. So this is deen. Yes, it's true. Religion meant that in a situation like this, the Shi'ab of Abi Talib, where you were constricted from all wares, normally people would want to rush to the masajid. No, they closed the masajid. But then for the sake of Allah, they went over and engaged in making their own medicines, their own PPE. They did that themselves. So then what happens is you find that the enemy says, okay, well, this is something, they look like criminals now, that you would think even out of self-preservation, you should allow them equipment so that you don't get poisoned. But to no, we're going to increase the sanctions under these circumstances. However many of them die, it's worth it. We'll maximum pressure. We're going to bring political Islam to its knees. But they forgot these are the sons of Hussein. The sons of Hussein say, "Hey, hat minna dhilla." They don't crumble under this kind of pressure. So, alhamdulillah, they were able to succeed in this way. And it doesn't mean they aren't hurting. There's people doing jihad right now. But alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, the numbers are coming down and the country is moving forward. Political Islam is moving forward. But then you see something else that's unfortunate. Celebrity Muslims now repeating the same CIA talking points as corporate media. So they look like criminals because they refuse to allow them at least to have relief for this period of time. So you have them under these kind of inhumane unilateral sanctions, at least now. So then they say, well, Iran's surviving. So then instead of acknowledging that, admiring that, that while here nurses are wearing trash bags to survive and to save people and being denied the equipment that they need, that we find that, so what did they do? What did they do? The same talking points. That if you're really under so much pressure, then we see that when you do have enough money, you spend that money fighting proxy wars in Syria and Iraq. When you do have money, you spend it either as the Houthis you're supporting, or Syria, or Iraq, you're always supporting somebody. Why don't you spend that money at home? So you see how ridiculous this is. That, first of all, we don't fight proxy wars, Muslims. The lives of each shaheed is worth so much to us. And it was our responsibility as Muslims to defend, the Islamic Republic had to defend their neighbors. Islam is this. I can't watch a mazloom and say it doesn't have anything to do with me. My social political responsibility, just me and my country, and I worship God.
Islam that we're preaching and we're teaching, theocracy, even if it means sanctions, even if it means you are suffering, you do your Islamic responsibility. That's how Imam Khomeini taught us. He said, you know what he explained to us? If you want Ramadan to be Mubarak, you want it to be blessed, then make the niyyah, the firm intention, to do what God has ordained you to do. Do your taklif. So they have to do their taklif. That was their responsibility. Secondly, how would they know 9 years ago that now there would be a coronavirus? So I will ignore my responsibility then, so that now... Thirdly, it was an existential threat. When Qasim Soleimani, may Allah raise him with Ahlul Bayt, went into Syria, 85% of Syria had been captured. Let's not forget history. They were 1,000 feet, less than 1,000 feet, from the shrine of Lady Zainab. They were right next to the presidential palace in Damascus. 40% of Iraq had fell. They were able to fight back from this. So ignoring it would have meant that they would have been fighting in the streets of Tehran. Kind of a ridiculous thing, but you see, unfortunately, celebrity Muslims repeating these same points. But now you and I have a responsibility. When we're going to introduce Islam to people, we're going to introduce Islam in its entirety. That means the social and political responsibilities that we as Muslims have as well, including Quds. The Prophet has taught us in hadith, man sami'a rajulan, whoever hears a man, yunadi ya lil muslimin, calling out, oh Muslims, I need help, falam yujibhu, and doesn't answer this person, falaysa bi muslim, this isn't a Muslim. They don't fit in the definition of the Muslim. So what happens is, brothers and sisters, this year, because we're probably not going to be able to have any outdoor rallies, brothers and sisters have come up with a very nice idea, a new initiative, and that would be that they would have Palestinian flags, those of them who have social media, Palestinian flags, purchase them, and in their own places, then at least fly that flag and take a picture of that flag. And that would be their day of remembering the oppressed. So for us, we don't want to ignore our responsibility to Quds and think, well, it's all over. No, we have our responsibility. We find other ways of resisting. Now on to what, inshallah, is going to be our main topic for these days and nights. So what we're going to be talking about is that akhlaq and the akhlaq in the home, how we interact with other believers, those who are close to us. Sometimes we're in situations which are trying. It would be wonderful if all of our the people who we interacted with were people who were like the Anbiya and reminded us of the Anbiya. But many times, sometimes our relatives are, sometimes some of us, maybe a little bit, sometimes they're troublemakers. They're not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a trigger, and then I neglect my responsibility. The other person misbehaves, I neglect my responsibility. We don't want to be those people. There's some really scary ahadith that I'm going to share a little bit later that just shows the importance of developing that akhlaq inside the house. But again, we're looking for more than that. There's other levels that we want to go to, but we need to focus on them. One of them is the idea of we want to make sure, one of the things the Ahlul Bayt teach us is not just thinking about the rituals. It's also the self-development part of the month of Ramadan. As Lady Fatima salamullahi alayha says in the hadith, مَا يَسْنَعُ الصَّائِمُ بِسْيَامِهِ, when a person's fasting, but إِذَا لَمْ يَسُنْ لِسَانَهُ, but they're not protecting their tongue. وَسَمْعَهُ, their ears aren't fasting. وَبَصَرَهُ, the eyes aren't fasting. وَجَوَارِحَهُ, and the limbs aren't fasting. What that person think they're doing by doing just the rituals? Sometimes this is something that could fool us away, that shaitan could attack us if we weren't aware of these things, if we didn't have these reminders about the Ahlul Bayt. And I'm going to talk about, even if we haven't experienced, maybe so far we've passed the test, we aren't the people who have showed some of these wrong traits, but this is still something for us to worry about. There was a woman in the time of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was an amazing lady. The people came to her and they were praising her in front of the Prophet. They said, Fulana tasumun nahar, she fasts during the day. Wa taqumul layl, At night, she stands, she offers the prayer. وتتصدق. And she also, alhamdulillah, she thinks about her neighbors, those who are less fortunate. She gives in the way of Allah. وتؤذي جارها بلسانها. The only weak point is that she torments her neighbor with her tongue. Harsh. The words she says are not nice. What did the Prophet say? قال لا خير فيها. There is no good in that woman. هي من أهل النار. استجير بالله. She is one of the inhabitants of the fire. So in Islam, this part is also very important. The Prophet teaches us this. He says, المسلم, the definition of the Muslim is this. من سلم المسلمون, that person who the Muslims are safe from, من لسانه ويده, from his hands and his tongue. Now, what happens is, no, maybe it's a little different. Maybe in my home, nobody dares to say anything. But the reason is that my reaction is so severe. Everybody tiptoes around me. People, I notice my family members, nobody criticizes me. Nobody has any kind of complaints. Why? They're afraid of my reaction. I'll flip out. I will say something. So people don't say anything. So then I think, alhamdulillah, I'm good then. What does the hadith say? The Prophet says this. Ya Ali, man khafa an-nas lisanah. That person who people are afraid of their tongues and what they'll say, they're afraid of their reactions. Fahuwa min ahli an-nar. This person is one of the inhabitants of the fire. We haven't even got to if we're being physically violent, we're mistreating people, we're showing that ugly side. Then he says something else too. Sometimes somebody, they haven't even said anything yet. What's their problem? Ya Ali, sharru an-nas, the worst person, man akramahu an-nas, the person who people show respect to, they tiptoe around, they make sure they're not bothering this person. Ittaqa'a sharra. They're so worried about their reaction, what they're going to do, what they'll do, what they're capable of. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for the coming of the Imam, which we hope and we pray is soon, we should keep in mind those ayat of the Quran that tell us that the believers are supposed to be ruhama baynahum, merciful among themselves. I want to give you one example to see again how the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by hearing the story of one of our shuhada, Shaheed Qasim Soleimani. Now you have seen, you and I, we've seen the warrior side of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani. But sometimes we don't know about the rahmah that these individuals would have. And of course, it doesn't mean that as believers, we don't try and right the ship. We don't do Amr bil Ma'ruf. We don't do Nahi an Munkar. We keep our mouth shut and we think, oh, I passed the test. From an Islamic point of view, that's also not acceptable. I have to right the ship in the right way. And we need to talk about that. How do we right the ship in the right way? But first, just the idea of the rahmah. The Quran taught us, ruhama baynahum. What's the mercy like of the believers? So what happens is he calls from Iraq to the base in Tehran, to the base of the Revolutionary Guard in Tehran. And the guy, the commander of the base, says, I could hear the sound of the bullets whizzing. So he's fighting ISIS, fighting Daesh, and this is a battle. I can hear the sound of these things. And he's calling me and he's talking to me. And he said, I heard that there was a heavy snow in Tehran today. He said, yeah, it's true, it's heavy snow. He said, I want you to go over and to, he said, there's deer that live in the mountains outside of the base. And those deer, they come down and they're going to be looking for food. They're not going to have food. I want you to make sure that there's food, that you guys go over, you distribute hay, so that when the winter, these deers can find food. It's okay, for sure. Hung up the phone, went over. He's the commander. I'm the commander of the base. I go over, make sure we distribute the hay. He says that, I was so surprised. After Dhuhr, same day he calls back. He said, what'd you do? I said, kind of sarcastically, the commander's order has been obeyed. And the deer are making dua for you. Then he said this. He said, I believe strongly in their dua. This kind of mercy. Even for the animals, let alone human beings, let alone our family members, let alone our neighbors, the way that we're interacting with them. Of course, brothers and sisters, we're going to be talking about those practical ways, inshallah, to make ourselves better believers and to really experience Allah's best. But one of the things that we need is the idea of hope when it comes to reform. The idea that we're not broken, even if we have habits that we have been dealing with for a long time, in the akhlaqi matters, in our spiritual lives, things that we're dealing with for a long time, we shouldn't lose hope. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers His prayers, especially in the month of Ramadan. And sometimes we have to kind of shame God, for lack of better words, into getting our prayers answered. We have to get Him to show mercy on us. Listen to this hadith. This is a beautiful hadith from the fifth Imam. He says this, مَا بَسَتَ عَبْدٌ يَدَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. No servant raises their hands towards the heaven, illa istahya Allah. Allah is ashamed, and yaruddaha sifra. God will be ashamed to send that hand back and give that person nothing. Hatta yaj'ala fiha min fadlihi wa rahmatihi ma yasha. Until He's given some of His grace and mercy to that person. The hadith continues, it says, so after you've made dua, once you've raised your hands to heaven, after that, rub them over your face and your head. God give you an answer. So I want to talk a little bit about the idea of hope, even if we're not deserving. There's a video that was released recently about one of our shuhada, and he didn't give permission that the video be released until after he became shaheed. So he was getting ready to go to Syria, and he's explaining in the video, he says that a few days ago, I was complaining, he's shaheed now, but in the video he's saying, a few days ago, I was really complaining to Lady Zainab. And I told Lady Zainab, I said that I'm trying to go to Syria. I've been 3 months now, my passport has been in my pocket, and I'm going to every door, I'm trying everyone. And I know, he knew what the real problem was. He says that you don't take me because I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He said, but that's nothing special. He says, your miracle is to take those who aren't worthy. You take those who are worthy. Your miracle is to take those who aren't worthy. He said, so I was complaining to her and I fell asleep. He says, that morning I had a dream and I saw Lady Zainab, and in the dream she told me that you've been invited. He says, I woke up and I was so happy. He said, I consider this the miracle of Lady Zainab because I know I'm not worthy. So brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how worthy we are, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ability to change us. So inshallah, Allah make us, like that shaheed, have that hope and keep trying. He became shaheed and his body was never recovered. May Allah raise him and us with Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, may he accept what was said and heard in his way. May he make these programs that we're going to be offering, inshallah, beneficial and hopefully a way for us to communicate with one another from afar. May Allah hasten the reappearance of the Imam of the time. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد هذا ما توعدون هذا ما توعدون هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب